Let us pray. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, if you've been here for a while, you've probably heard me say that one of the jobs of the church, one of my jobs, or really our jobs, because as I just said, we are the body of Christ, is to hatch, match, and dispatch, right? So baptize, marry, and bury. Those are things that we do that are important. And we've had a lot of baptisms this year and a lot of weddings as well, but we also have funerals here. And this past week, we had a couple of funerals at Holy Trinity. And I got to say, it really is one of our great honors and privileges to send people on into God's eternal kingdom and to hopefully, by the grace of God, bring some comfort and some peace and some hope to those who are left behind. And I don't want to brag on us too much, but I have to say, we do a really good funeral. We do. A member of our church said something really lovely a few weeks ago. You know, she's at the point in her life where, unfortunately, she's going to a lot of funerals. And she said, one of the things I love about funerals at Holy Trinity is that I always walk out feeling hopeful. What a beautiful thing that is. And that's something I would hope that happens every time we gather together, that when you walk through those doors, and really when you walk out, you leave this place feeling more hopeful, peaceful, joyful than when you walked in. So quite often when we have funerals, even in the midst of grief and mourning, there's also a good deal of joy because the person who has died did so old and full of years, to quote the biblical book of Job. That is to say, the deceased had a good long life. It was a life well lived, and what I would also call a good death, surrounded by people they love. But unfortunately, this past week, the two funerals we did this past week weren't quite like that, because one of them was for a man who took his own life. And while that's not easy to talk about, my guess is we all know somebody who has taken their own life. There's probably even people here who've thought about taking their own life. So that was one of the services, and the other one was for a woman who died much too soon. She had a stroke, which is very much unexpected, and left behind a husband and a teenage daughter. And so it was kind of a hard week. And so what I want to talk about today, in light of that, but also in light of our lives, I want to talk about is what we do when life doesn't go according to plan, or at least according to our plan. What do we do? How do we respond when life is painful and scary and disappointing? What do we do when we find ourselves at a bit of a loss, when we're unsure what to do or how to move forward? And I find that when we find ourselves in that place, our thoughts often drift upward. They drift towards God. There's another woman in our church, wonderful parishioner, who asked for her prayers this past week for a friend of hers who has heart disease. She's going in for an operation. And this friend of hers says she's an atheist, and yet every time she comes to an impossible situation, she asks her friend, our parishioner, for prayers. I find that kind of funny, right? As an unknown chaplain during World War I, I used to say, there are no atheists in the trenches, right? There are no atheists in foxholes. When the chips are down, we start thinking about God. But when we think about God, and especially in the midst of suffering, of pain, of life not going according to plan, I think we basically have three choices. Or perhaps choice is not the right word, but I do think there are three trains of thought which may occupy our mind and heart. And the first thought, which is possible in the midst of suffering, is that there is no God, that we're fooling ourselves, that the truth is that we are alone in the universe, and no one is looking out for us, no one is on our side, that life is essentially meaningless, and it's up to us, up to you and me, to just make the most of the limited time that we have. And I would call that, broadly speaking, existentialism. although some of you know that Soren Kierkegaard was an existentialist and a Christian, we'll set that aside. Most existentialists were atheists, and this is what they believe, that life is essentially meaningless. It's up to us to make the meaning. And that's not really a helpful or hopeful thought. People who adopt that line of thinking often end up in rather dark places. And if you don't believe me, go read the biographies of the main existentialists. They don't end well. That's all I'll say. So that's one option. The second option is that there is a God, or perhaps even gods or some force or the universe, but they either can't do anything about our pain, about our suffering, or they don't really care, or maybe they're trying to teach us some sort of lesson. And the pain will only stop once we've learned that lesson, once we've appeased those gods. Let's call that paganism, since that's essentially what the Greeks and Romans believed. They believed that the gods were sort of fickle and human-like, and they kind of played with people, toyed with people for their own amusement. That is also not a particularly helpful or hopeful thought, is it? It leads to fear. Fear of God, fear of life, it leads to shame, it leads to sort of compulsion in thinking and doing as we try to figure out how to appease God, how to make the pain stop, how to get what we want. What do I need to do to get God on my side and make the suffering stop? We might also call that karmic thought, right? I do my part, I get back what I give. Not a terribly helpful line of thinking. But I do think that many of us, when we're in pain, we find ourselves entertaining either existentialist or pagan or karmic thinking. Maybe there is no God, or maybe he doesn't care about me. Maybe he's forgotten about me. Maybe he's punishing me. And all those thoughts seem to make our pain and suffering just worse than it already was. But there's a third option, which I would call Christianity, which I would call biblical. And here's how that line of thinking goes. When we are hurting and confused, when life is not going according to plan, there is a God, and he is good. And the way we know that he is good is because he came down to earth and showed us. He came in the flesh as Jesus of Nazareth, and when Jesus came, he was good. And Jesus is always with us. He is always for us. He is on our side. He is present right now, today, tomorrow, and forever. He is active. He is doing something in our life and in the life of the world, and he's doing something good. And although we may be in pain, although we may not be able to see or understand what God is doing right now, someday we will. Someday all will be revealed, either in this life or in the life to come. Someday every pain will be healed, every tear wiped away, because the God of the Bible is in the business of redemption. The God of the Bible, aka Jesus, because remember, Jesus is God and God is Jesus, that God always turns suffering into joy, turns despair into hope, and turns death into life. And that's a God who might actually be able to pull us through a situation where things aren't going according to plan, where we find ourselves in pain. That's a belief that might allow us to persevere and to find hope and joy and peace in the midst of difficult circumstances. Well, today's passage from Hebrews, it talks a lot about faith, like I talked about with the kids, and specifically the faith of this man, Abraham, this man who lived 4,000 years ago, a man who was just like you and me, a man whose life took a lot of unexpected and confusing and painful turns. God called Abraham to leave his home, to leave everything he had ever known, to head off into the unknown to a country he had never seen. He calls Abraham to move. Have you moved recently? Moving is the worst. I hate moving. And he didn't even know where he was going. Usually when we move, we know where we're going, but God is like, go somewhere to a land I'll show you. Trust me on this. And Abraham does. But then he and his wife struggle with infertility. And even though God has promised them a child, they have to wait and wait and wait and wait for the promise to be fulfilled. Like many people in the Bible, like many of us, Abraham has marital problems, he has family problems, health problems, money problems, relationship problems, and to top it all off, he was a sinner, like you and me. He made lots and lots of mistakes. And yet God was faithful to him. God was good to him. It may have taken a little while, but God kept his promises to Abraham. He blessed him with a home and a family. And through Abraham, God blessed all the nations of the world. Because through Abraham, God brought forth Jesus, through whom we have all been forgiven and blessed and granted eternal life. In today's gospel reading, Jesus says a couple of things. First, he says this, and I love this. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So sell your possessions, give away your money, make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus says, as God says over and over in the Bible, as he said to Abraham in Genesis, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. God has already given you everything you could ever need. So live generously. Live freely. Live as if you have nothing to gain and nothing to lose, because that's reality. That's the truth. God is with you and has blessed you and will continue to do so. But then Jesus says this, the Son of Man, by which he means himself, the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. In other words, we never quite know when God is going to show up, when he's going to deliver, and he often does so when we least expect it. So clearly what I've been trying to talk about this morning is faith. At the beginning of today's Hebrews passage, we have this kind of iconic verse on the nature of faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is trusting God, trusting that he's good, even when we're confused, we can't see, when we're in pain, when life doesn't go according to plan. And that can be hard to do. It can be so much easier to slip into despair, to start thinking that maybe there is no God. Maybe he's not listening. Maybe he doesn't care. But that's not what the Bible says. It's not what Jesus says. It's not who Jesus is. It's not what Abraham found to be true, and it's not what I have found to be true. Hear again what Jesus says to you and me this morning. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We may not see it now, but we will. God is real. He is good. He is with us. He is for us. He is always at work. He is always on our side, even and especially when things are not going according to our plan. They are going according to his plan. He will show up when we most need it and when we least expect it. Amen.